Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody.
Thank you again for...
This is Brother David Clark coming to you again. I'm here filling in for Brother Ledford, and we're glad to see you this Sunday morning. And this is my favorite day of the week. I'm glad to be here. We get to have church twice today. This is my favorite time. Wait all week long to get here, and here it is, and I'm just going to enjoy it. And I hope that you are up and getting ready for church this morning. Maybe you're not, if you're not feeling well or something, and maybe you're tuning in. So whatever the reason is, we're glad that you're here, and I hope that something that I say this morning helps you today. We're going to get right into the Word today. And I want to ask you a question before we start this morning. I want to ask you a question. Does anybody like being called crazy? I don't really like being called crazy. You know, we play around, my kids and I, sometimes when we pick on each other, you know, just nitpicking, being fun, and we call each other, you know, different things or whatever, and playfully. But I mean seriously, someone calling you crazy, looking you in the eye and telling you that you are absolutely crazy. No one likes that. But that's what we're talking about this morning, is insanity. Insanity. You say, well, that's a crazy thing to talk about. No pun intended. But that's what we're talking about, is insanity today. And I'm going to explain that. But there is some truths here, something the Lord's laid on my heart that I want to communicate to you today, and hopefully open up someone's eyes to see that some of the things that we are doing and some of the ways that we live our life, if we don't heed to Scripture, it is really insane not to heed the warning of the Scripture. All right, so let's get into the Word today. I'm going to be reading a lot out of the book of Romans, chapter 1 and chapter 2. If you want to turn with me, Romans chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse number 24. I'm going to read some Scripture here. Just follow along with me. Romans 1:24, it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, and men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." Now listen to 32. It says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now the Bible lists all kinds of the big sins here that we all know about, lists all the things that we know we shouldn't do. But what intrigues me about this Scripture is verse number 32, the Bible tells us all the things that folks are doing that they ought not be doing. But in 32, it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they also have pleasure in them that do them. And that spawned a thought in my mind. It sparked some interest with me, and I wanted to get into this and find out why in the world would these folks hear the book of Romans talking about, and in folks today, knowing the judgment of God, knowing the consequences of sin, knowing what the outcome of sin is, the punishment of sin, still engage in those activities, still turn away from God, and live as if nothing is wrong, how can one's mind make that decision to turn away or to completely reject God, knowing the consequences? The only thing that I can come up with is that there is something, which is what this is going to, this lesson, sermon, whatever you want to call it, is going to be on this morning, is the insanity of sin. The insanity of sin. Now, we all know what sin is. Sin is transgression against God. Sin is anything that we do that we know is in open rebellion to God's word. It could be a small thing or a big thing. It's all the same to God. Sin is sin. Now, I want to read something here. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So sin is anything that we know that is right, that we neglect to do, or anything that we know is wrong that we insist on doing anyways. That becomes sin in our life. Now, the Bible clearly says that God hates sin. God hates sin. He sent his only son to die for us, to save us from our sins. Not save us in our sins, from our sins. He brought us out of sin and bondage so we would not have to walk in that lifestyle. He saved us from our sin. Now, if God hates sin, like the Bible says he does, and he sent his only son to die on the cross to save us from our sins, then in your mind, can you imagine what it must make God feel like when we walk in open rebellion to his word and we choose to sin anyways? Now, I'm not talking about something that someone doesn't know about, that they've never learned or they're unknowledgeable about. I'm talking about those of us that know right from wrong. If you read this word for any length of time, you know what the scriptures say that is sin. You know what is right and what is wrong. I'm talking about walking in open rebellion. And that may mean that maybe you've never accepted Christ because you don't want to give up the things of the world. Or maybe you have been saved before. Maybe you have walked with God and you've turned away. Now, I want to insert this real quick and I'll get back to the lesson here. But I want to insert this. For some reason, the past couple of weeks, the Lord has not let me get away from the subject of backsliders. Now, I don't know who it's for. I don't know who's listening. I don't know, you know, who's watching on Facebook or whatever, or who may listen later on. But I wish that somebody would give their heart to God so he'd release me from this, and then I'll go on to another subject. But for some reason, the draw and the pull is there that God's trying to reach a backslider. Now, if that's you this morning, you pay close attention, because these words that I'm giving you are straight from the word of God, all right? Now, I'm talking about folks that have turned away from God, and they've went back to a life of sin, or maybe they've never been saved, or maybe they're trying to live for God, but there are things in their lives that they know is displeasing to God, yet they will not let God give them victory over, and they refuse to relinquish to God. Now, we talked before about that, the process of backsliding, and that's someone that's on their way out. But I want to talk to you today about the insanity of sin. How crazy that it is when you actually think about it, how crazy it is for us, knowing the scripture, knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing the punishment for sin that we're going to read in just a moment, to still walk in sin and to act like everything is all right when we know that there is a God in heaven that hears and knows every one of our thoughts, and he's aware of all of our actions. Now, that's a pretty crazy thing to do. Now, I want to read you something here. I want to read you something. We just heard James 4:17. He that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18, the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I entertain sin in my heart, God will not hear me. Means my prayers will not will not be answered. God will not listen to me. The only prayer that God will hear from a sinner is the prayer of repentance. And then after you've been justified and you've been brought into the family of God, then you have an advocate with God, Jesus Christ. You pray and Jesus prays on your behalf, and God will meet your needs. But until the point that you've been made a Christian, you've been saved, Jesus, the only prayer that God hears from you is a prayer of repentance. Because the benefits of God don't apply to you, all right? That is grounds right there for anyone to want to serve God. Number one, because you're cut off as a sinner. You're actually cut off from the presence of God, from the benefits of God. You're actually separated from God. Now, Isaiah 59 and 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Now, I know there's a lot of folks out there today that live lives of sin, and they participate in open sin, and they see nothing wrong with that. But the problem with that is the Bible tells us that sin in our hearts, they actually separate us from God. They actually they make it impossible for us to have a relationship, have fellowship with God, because God is holy. God is just, he's righteous, and he has no fellowship with sin. God will not tolerate sin. And that's totally contrary to what modern day churches preach, because everything is grace and love and fellowship, unicorns and rainbows, but God will not tolerate sin. He absolutely has no tolerance for it whatsoever. If a person's going to make it into heaven, they're going to be spotless. They're going to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And that blood is perfect, and it is more than able to wash away every sin and stain. So if we're washed in the blood, we have no sin in us as long as we stay under that flow, as long as we stay living in a crucified life to Jesus Christ. Now, to the person that has walked in that way and turned away, what they've done is they have in their mind convinced themselves that they are not going to face consequences for their sin. It's extreme madness. Now, that word insanity, when you look it up in Webster's, it says that madness or extreme foolishness or irrationality. Now, I don't know if you've ever come in contact with someone with a mental disorder or someone that's not in their right mind, but they'll talk and they'll try to converse with you and try to make conversation. But most of the time, if it's someone that their mind is really gone, you can't understand what they're saying. Doesn't make any sense. They don't have any rationality. You know, and I know folks, we get up in age and have different things that happen, Alzheimer's, dementia, things, and it causes our minds to not function properly. And so we're not rational. But I'm talking about a spiritual insanity today with folks that they don't make any sense. They let sin cloud their judgment. They walk in a way that is not pleasing to God, as if there are no consequences. And I think folks have short-term memory loss whenever it comes to sin. We have to acknowledge the elephant in the room with everyone that's backslidden or someone that's not saved and remind them no one likes to hear about hell. No one likes to hear about eternal punishment for the wicked, but the truth of the matter is that if we die or the Lord comes back and there's sin in our heart, then we will not go to heaven. We will be left behind. The Bible says that only those that are spotless, only those that are holy will enter into heaven. There is no sin permitted into heaven. We can't go there. The bride of Christ is going to be a spotless and a holy bride. She won't have any spot or wrinkles in her garment, but she'll be ready. She'll be pure and holy and undefiled. Now, that's pretty plain language that the Bible gives us, yet there are those of us that turn away from God and walk out into sin. It's madness. And if you're a sinner this morning listening or watching, then I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. How long will you allow the enemy to blind your eyes, to cause you to walk in this type of insanity, the insanity of sin. Now, my pastor, when he was alive, he gave us an example one time about a man standing on a bridge. The bridge had fallen out and collapsed in the middle of the night. And so he had flares, and he was standing on the end of that bridge, and he was waving to folks as they drove past to warn them of imminent danger and imminent danger. And folks would drive past him, and they would shrug him off, and they would, you know, maybe holler something out the window, "You're crazy," or whatever, and they would drive on only to meet their imminent death. Now, it's the same thing with preachers today, with teachers, with witnesses, trying to alarm this world that a life of sin God will not accept. And though folks hear the gospel and they know the gospel, they continue on in such an irrational lifestyle, such a crazy, foolish lifestyle, and they don't acknowledge the truth of God's word. It's total insanity this morning. How can we, knowing that hell is waiting, knowing that punishment is waiting for the wicked, knowing that God will turn every nation that forgets him into hell, that God will punish everyone in the lake of fire that does not know him and hasn't accepted Christ, how can we, in a clear mind and clear conscience, walk in sin knowing that there's punishment waiting for the wicked? It's impossible. It's the insanity of sin. Our minds are clouded by the enemy that clouds our judgment. We think that we're all right. We think that this okay. And let me give you an example. Whenever I was a kid, I'm going to tell on my dad, all right? When I was a kid, my dad sent me out in the yard to pick up some sticks in a pile behind the house. He was probably going to mow grass or something, and he needed those sticks moved. And I was probably 9 or 10, something like that, around my boy's age. And he sent me out there, and he said, "Now I want you to pick these sticks up." And he showed me what to do with them, gave me a garbage can, said, "Put them in here, yard trash, and I want you." And he walked on about his business. And I remember my thought process, and I remember what I went through as I lollygagged around and things like that, and I moved some sticks to the side, and then in my mind I started thinking, well, he only wants these big sticks, and maybe he only wants medium-sized sticks and not these, so I'll make different piles of them and push them over to the corner or whatever, and he won't notice, and I'll do as little as possible to try to get out of doing what I'm supposed to do. The problem was, my dad believed in discipline, and he still does. My dad believed that when he tells you to do something, you ought to do it the first time. So he come back, and I remember the day that we now talk about. The day went down in history as the day my dad whooped me in the yard with a stick. The reason was, he told me to do something. He gave me descriptive instructions, and then I refused to do it. I was not rational. I was in la-la land somewhere. Even though I was a child, I knew right. I had the instructions. Listen to the similarity today of what the church and what people that have had the knowledge of the gospel, what they do, how they live. We have the word of God that tells us that only the whole are going to inherit the kingdom of God. We have the scriptures that tells us that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the wages are what we earn. It's not something that God passes on us out of being unfair. It's what we've earned for our actions. The wages of sin, the earnings of sin, is death. And that is because we have every opportunity, every chance, all the knowledge and the instructions that we could possibly need in this word of God to help us to get to heaven, because Jesus paid it all. God made the way so plain and simple, and yet we refuse to walk in it. So we earn the wages of sin, which is death. We earn that, but we don't have to. What I can't understand this morning, and I want to talk to you you from my heart just a minute. You know, it may not sound very preachy to get personal like this, but I just don't understand some folks that will turn away from God. I just don't understand it. To know the goodness and the mercy of God, to know the blessing of God and the eternal reward that awaits for us, how that someone that has tasted of the goodness of God, how someone that has tasted of salvation, how that they can choose a life of sin and go back out into this world, knowing this morning that hell is awaiting, knowing what the reward is going to be for those that choose to turn away from God. My heart is broken today because of the insanity that people are walking in, and you ask them, when are you coming back to the Lord? When will you make things right? And their answer is, well, one day I'll be back. Let me give you a story from my childhood. I remember my mama took me and my older brother to visit a lady who was in the hospital, and she had served the Lord a long time and was a role model for a lot of us. And she backslid and went out in this world and began to live a life of sin that she knew better. And my mama stood at her bedside and she called her name and she said, don't stay out too long. When will you come back? I remember the words that woman spoke. They're etched in my brain today as an adult. And she said, I'll be back. I'll be back sometime. I'll be back. And she meant, I'm going to serve the devil. I'm going to live like the devil. I'm going to stay a sinner, but one day I'll come back to God. One day I'll get saved again. Well, I can tell you this morning that lady died in a horrible manner. She never was able, as far as I know, the time when she died, as far as I know, she never made it right with God. Unless she did, and I don't know about it, in her subconscious she was able to pray. I don't know. God's the judge of that. But as far as I know, years passed, and she never made it right with God. Friend, you don't decide when you come to Christ. The Bible said no man can come except the Spirit. Draw him. Just saying a prayer in some mega church is not going to save you. Just saying some prayer to help you make a good grade on a test is not going to save you. Just saying a prayer whenever you're desperate and you need something from God is not going to save you. It takes turning from our sin, completely renouncing this life of sin and turning to Jesus Christ and allowing him to cleanse you from all sin and impurities. Now this morning, there are folks that are going to watch this and listen to this, and they're sinners and they know they're sinners, and yet they will make excuses, every reason they can think of why they will not serve God. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody hurt me. Somebody talked about me. Somebody did me wrong. Somebody did this or that. But the bottom line is the wages of your sin, the earnings for your personal sin, is death. You, my friend, today are facing the judgment of God if you don't make it right today. Now, I don't know how much time you have left. I don't know how much time we've got until Jesus comes. I don't know if we could make it through today without one of us being called home today and going out into eternity to meet God. But the important thing is that we don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. There's so many things that I want to tell you here that I've got written down, but I can't get away from this, that God is pulling for someone's soul today. I don't know what the reasons are that the enemy has told you why you should not serve God. He'll do anything that he can. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a fault finder. He's a backbiter. He's a gossiper. He'll do everything he can to try to obscure your view of Christ and the church today. But the bottom line is, there's coming a time, friend, when Jesus is going to call for us, when Jesus is going to require us, and we're going to have to give an account for what we've done. We're going to have to give an account for how we've lived our life. Every sin we've ever committed, we are going to have to give an account for that. And if the blood is not applied to those sins, if our name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're not going, my friend. Jesus is coming back for a holy and a righteous church, one that has been washed in his blood, a bride that is without spot or wrinkle. Now, I want to talk to you 1 second here, Romans 1 and 24. I want to tell you what happens to folks that continue in their sin. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Listen to how that sounds like us today. Listen, turn over to chapter number 2. Chapter number 2. Listen, read verses 5 on down. I don't have time to read it all. We're about to lose time here. But listen, verse number 16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus according to my gospel. God is going to judge the secret things of our hearts. God's going to judge us by the works that we've done, by the things that we've allowed, by the sin that we've harbored in our heart. God is going to judge it. Romans 2, 5 through 16 tells us that God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. He is not going to judge someone else's sin more harshly or lighter than yours. We're all going to have to give an account today. Now, before we close out here, I want to ask you a question. I want you to make a list in your mind of things that you would still do today if you knew that by doing them, it would result in instantaneous death, physical death. Go ahead, in your mind, think about something that you would still love to do if you knew that doing it would result in your immediate death. Now, there's not going to be a long list here. A lot of people are not going to have much they'd still like to do. I can't tell you anything I'd still like to do if it resulted in death. I think I would stay away from those things. How insane would it be for a person to walk into a room full of venomous snakes and to lay down in the floor and play with those things, knowing he was going to be bitten and probably die? It's insanity. It's the same gamble that we are taking that a person takes when they live in sin, knowing that the wages of sin is death, knowing that the consequences of their actions is going to lead them to a place called hell, and there's no escape, my friend. Once you're there, you can't get back. It's over for you. Once you're going to hell, once you're in hell, there is no returning. It's a place of an eternal damnation and torture and punishment separated from God. Listen, you don't have to go there. Jesus died so that you may have life. Jesus paid the price. If you've strayed away from God, this is your moment. This is your day. Hear the words of God this morning. Repent. Come back to Christ. Allow Him to be Lord of your life and to wash you in His blood today. Now, that's the only thing that's going to save us. Now, listen to me. Living in open rebellion to God's absolute madness. Don't allow the enemy to cloud your vision. Don't allow him to persuade you that you have time, because no one knows how much time we have left. And I hope that the words that I've given you today have stirred up your hearts and your souls. Now do me a favor. Everybody get up, get dressed, go find you a Bible-believing church. Go in there and worship God, pray, seek the Lord, and let God help you today. I love you all, praying for you. Until we're on here again, God bless you all, and I hope you have a wonderful day in the Lord's house today. God bless you.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.